Foreign Minister, welcome to Empire.
Thank you. Welcome to the capital of the Empire.
Oh, that's right. Foreign Minister, you've said that there are three kinds of leaders in the region. Those who understand change is coming and are leading it, those who understand change is coming are indifferent to it, and those who understand change is coming but are resisting it.
That's right.
Come the new government, are you going to make a new policy doctrine of sort towards the Arab world?
First of all, we will continue the same principles. Change is necessary, and it must be through a peaceful transformation, because we cannot make a paradox between stability and change. And of course, our focus will be Egypt. Why? Because we want Egyptian process as a success. If there is a success in Egyptian process of transition, I am sure that will be a good example for other countries. Everybody, global powers, regional powers, must help Egypt and Tunisia to make this transition a success.
You've received Omar al-Bashir of Sudan twice here. Is that the same message goes to Sudan as well?
Of course. And in each case, we tried and we will continue to try to give our very frank opinion to all the leaders and countries around us.
And you've been giving your frank opinion to Israel?
Yes.
With its situation there?
Yes.
The Turkish flotilla, Mavi Marmara, is going once again at the end of this month, at the end of June. And the Israelis are saying they're going to do the same thing. They're going to confront it with their navy. What will Turkey do then?
It is not a Turkish-Israeli issue, this convoy issue, because there are participations of from the two countries. I hope Israel has already understood that international waters does not belong to Israel.
But it says it wants to confront the same way.
Then they will see the consequences. We cannot tolerate Israel to claim that Eastern Mediterranean belongs to them and they can do any operation in open seas or territory in international waters. This will not be happening again.
Israel is just an example of where the so-called zero problem policy has having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with that in reality?
Let me clarify one position. When I said zero problems with our neighbors in 2003, I knew as a student of history and who taught history, it is not possible zero problems with even between brothers.
Yeah.
But what did I try is to change the mentality. Until that time, there was a foreign policy paradigm in Turkey having problems with the neighbors. We changed that paradigm, and zero problems with neighbors has been a success. For example, our relations with Greece, our relations with Russia, our relations with Georgia, our relations with Bulgaria, Iran, not only, don't look at only Syria and Iraq. Even in Syria and Iraq and Lebanon and Jordan and Egypt, it has been a success.
And then came the Arab awakening. And Turkey has been criticized as flip-flopping on the question of transition. So while, for example, you called for early retirement of President Mubarak, you certainly took your time on Libya, and you're still taking your time on Syria.
No, it is not correct. We established two principles. One is, now it is time for change in our region, and the Cold War politics, as it has ended in Eastern Europe, there is a need of a new politics in our region. Second, the method of this change should be peaceful transformation or orderly transition.
So,
in the case of Egypt, for example,
yeah.
Prime Minister made this call when the position of army was clear and when there was a widespread demonstration in almost all cities, regardless of their religious background, Muslims, Christians, yeah. All of them were in the streets. So in this case, we had a projection that it is time for there is a possibility of peaceful change. But in the case of Libya, there we made another analysis and we said, this could continue longer. So we need to use all of our cards in our hand to make this transformation possible in a peaceful manner. When Gaddafi didn't listen to us, we made our position clear and we said, now you must go because you don't listen. Same in Syria, we are using our best effort to encourage Syrian administration for reforms. And when the loss of civilians continues, we criticize. So our policy is absolutely consistent, but of course we have to implement the same principles in different consequences in a different way.
So when I take a look at your balance sheet of the last 10 years, what do I see? You've tried to resolve the question of Israel-Palestine, Israel-Syria. You've tried to tackle the question of Iran nuclear. You've tried to tackle the question of Cyprus. You've tried to tackle your own question of membership of the European Union. It hasn't been working, has it?
No, totally. I think it was a very successful process. Let me tell you, if you do the same criteria, all the American administrations were failed, and all the international community failed. So it is not.
So you accept that you have the same failure like like Washington?
No, the opposite. This is not the way of analyzing a process, a period. I can give you another picture. The Sunni participation to Iraqi politics in 2005, a success. This solution for the presidential crisis in Lebanon, together with Qatar in 2008, a success. Starting indirect talks between Syria and Israel, despite of a long, almost 10 years, there was no even contact. And we succeeded to start the process. And we succeeded an end. But who failed? Because of Israeli politics, not because of Turkish mediation. It's a success.
But led to nowhere.
Starting Turkish EU negotiation is a success. It depends from which perspective you are approaching. I think this has been a success story.
One of the questions of prominence has been that it's looking more and more like a schizophrenic foreign policy. You speak like a BRIC, you talk like a BRIC country. Like Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and South Africa today. But you're a member of NATO, mm-hmm. and you want to enter the European Union. How do you resolve exactly that?
Yes, we are a member of NATO, but in NATO, and even in EU negotiations, our connections with Asia, with Middle East, with Africa even, with Balkans, with Caucasia is an asset. In fact, this is an asset for global peace. This is an asset for everybody. Our relation in the Middle East, in all issues in the Middle East, in EU forum or NATO, everybody is asking Turkish opinion.
But they know very well that we are influential in this region. But you do not correspond, you do not agree with most of the core powers of NATO alliance.
That's right. It doesn't mean NATO does not mean that everybody must have one policy. This is wrong. Again, another orientalism. NATO is a Western power, Turkey is a dependent country, and Turkey will accept what the main powers of NATO would decide. This is wrong.
I still don't understand, Foreign Minister, why should some of the most powerful countries in the world with nuclear-powered countries still maintain an alliance that was supposed to keep the Germans down and the Russians out? This is over.
But the existing instability, security instability in Europe and around Europe and in transatlantic, NATO had a mission.
Are you sure this is not having your cake and eating it too? I mean, I'm talking about Turkey. Because in the end of the day, you want to be part of two processes. You want to be a country of all seasons. You want to be with everyone and please everyone and so on and so forth. But the result in the end of the day is that you're angering the likes of America. Because you interfere in the question of Iran, as far as they're concerned, you're angering the likes of Israel and France because you put pressure on the question of Palestine and Libya. And so the process might be going good,
if you want to be liked by everyone, you have to be very passive or not do anything. Mm-hmm. Turkey has her own position. Once you have your own position, some of them will like, some others will not like. The important thing is here, you can change everything. But you cannot change two things, geography and history. Turkey is in such a geography that we need to develop our own position. And in all these cases, for example, Syria today, who else knows Syria more than us? Or who else can contribute more to a peaceful process in Syria or in Iraq more than Turkey? Those who are far away, they have different, of course, perspectives. This is our geography.
But don't you think you'll be closer to this geography if you're no longer a member of NATO?
We will continue to be a member of NATO. We will not question it.
A lot of people are saying you are reminding them of the Ottoman Empire. You have always said, don't say such nonsense. This is not an Ottoman Empire. Some are now advancing a new argument that perhaps this is a post-Ottoman. This is a new Turkey. Do you think this responsibility can be still one of we want to be with the East and we want to be with the West?
The concepts of East and West is changing. Turkey is not the end point of East, and Greece is not, for example, is not the end point of West. In this global world, these type of terminology should be changed. Now, it is time to end these abnormalities. What is the normality? Normality is economic interdependency. Normality means political dialogue.
But do you support that among the Arab countries first?
Yes, of course.
So you support first and foremost an Arab unity of sort among Arab states, interdependence among Arab countries, perhaps a common market?
Why do we need to call this Arab or Turkish or Iranian or others? Call it regional. If Arabs unite, we will be more than happy. That's what we want.
I want to end with you, Foreign Minister, on one note that you actually mentioned. You said that we're not only going to be a regional power, we want to be a global power.
That's right.
Just tell me, why does the Republic of Turkey want to be a global power?
Which country doesn't want to be a global power? Let me tell me. All the countries want to play an important role. Some European countries, they want to play a global role. Nobody is questioning. When Turkey says we can contribute to global peace, then there is a question, do you want to create Ottoman Empire? No. Ottoman Empire was passed. It will be passed.
We're in post-Ottoman times.
Yes. But now, what we realize, Turkey is a country where East and West, North and South meets. We can contribute a lot.
On this very positive and confident note, we're going to have to end.